by David Ebel is titled The Missing Tribes.
I believe that it takes the Holy Spirit to teach a lesson, don't you? Oh, we can talk and we can have a lot of things all lined up, but without the leading and without the anointing of the Holy Spirit, it's valueless. Is that all right? Then agree with me. We're two or three are agreed. Our Father, in Jesus' name, we agree. Two or three of us, we have four or five, maybe 30 of us, whatever it is, we're agreed together. And we're asking for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to give us eyes that see and ears that hear. As we look into your word, we pray, Lord, that the word will make sense to us, be a blessing to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Now the subject is the missing tribes. How's that for a subject? Who are the missing tribes and why are they missing? I might start out by saying years ago when I used to teach the book of Revelation and travel around the country teaching the book of Revelation, as I traveled various places, I would offer, usually during the early parts of one of my seminars, a contest. And this contest would be simply, who can tell me the names of the missing tribes? The prize for the contest was that I would furnish a spaghetti dinner for anyone. You know, that to me, that's great. And a spaghetti dinner complete with a toss salad. And, you know, for the person who would tell me the names of the missing tribes, we would also take their spouse or their escort, whoever it was, to this dinner. After I bought a considerable number of dinners, I changed the contest to say, who will tell me not only the names of the missing tribes, but why they're missing? And I didn't have very many takers on that. Only one girl in the United States has ever told me why they were missing, who I couldn't trace back to our teachings. Now, so we're going to try to give you an idea of why they're missing. But while I'm on that subject, let me say this. Do you know that the Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. He'll give liberally and will not upbraid. In other words, to me, not upbraid means won't call us dummies for not knowing. So the subject tonight is the missing tribes. There is a list in the book of Revelation of tribes that are sealed. I heard the number of them that were sealed, and there were sealed 140 and 4,000. Out of all the tribes, the children of Israel, doesn't say Jews, but the children of Israel. We'll get into that in a little while, the difference between Jews and Israel. Now, so that nobody's uptight, I don't want anybody uptight right now. I believe in a form, hear me, I believe in a form of British Israel, but I don't believe in the British Israel teaching. Is that okay? There is a form, there is some truth there, but there are also some excesses and some errors. And I believe that, I don't know whether I'm here just to teach errors or not to talk about errors, but there is a truth, there is a basic truth about the fact that the northern 10 tribes are called Israel and the southern 2 tribes are called what? Judah or Jews, is that all right? So the word Jew applies to the southern 2, and the word Israel applies to the northern 10 or the total of the 12. We'll get into that in a little more detail later. Well, so it was, I've been praying to the Lord, and I said, Lord, I want to know the reason that these tribes are missing, because I don't want to do what they did and end up missing. I'll say that again. There are 2 tribes that are missing. We're going to read the list of them, find out who they are. Then we're going to find out what they did, what was common to those 2 that the others didn't do, because I don't want to do that, do you? I want to end up with a seal, don't you? I want to be a part of that group, because we believe the 144,000 is not a literal number, but it's a symbolic number. It's a symbolic number of all the kings and priests joined as with Christ. Those are going to rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years, and I want to be a part of that. So I don't want to goof off and miss out. Turn with me in the Bible right now to Revelation chapter 7. In Revelation chapter 7, verse 1. And after these things, I saw 4 angels standing on the 4 corners of the earth, holding the 4 winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. Oh, I see, that's from the east. That's Westchester. And he cried with a loud voice to the 4 angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea and Florida, saying... Oh, no. Well, I just wanted to see how many were awake. Let's keep going. hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Now, I got to stop here and apologize for those people from Florida who will be listening to the tape. It's not funny to them. All right, yes, that's true. And I heard the number of them. Oops. Where'd I leave off? Four. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 out of all of the children of the children of Israel, the tribes of the children of Israel. And of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. The tribe of Asher were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Naphtali were sealed 12,000. The tribe of Manasseh were sealed 12,000. The tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of, now I'm emphasizing a word, Levi. Do you see the word Levi? Why did I emphasize Levi? Well, because this is the first time in the Bible that Levi was numbered among the tribes. Therefore, if it's all right with you, put a circle around the word Levi in your scriptures. If you have a Bible that you can't mark, then you just go ahead and praise the Lord for it and set aside and buy another one you can. And put a little circle around Levi. Because it'll help you to remember that Levi is all by himself. Levi sticks in here. The first time Levi has ever been numbered among the tribes. Did you know that before, the Levites had no inheritance and could not be numbered? Is that correct? The Levites were not among the tribes. They were the 13th tribe. We find Levi in here now. Were sealed 12,000. The tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. Tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of, I'm stopping again and emphasizing another word. What's the next word? Joseph. Before, this is the first time that Joseph has ever been numbered among the tribes. So take your same pencil and write around the word Joseph. So you've circled Levi and Joseph because this is the first time that these two have ever been numbered among the tribes. Of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000 after this, and lo, a great multitude, and so forth. Now this is what we'll be talking about, the missing tribes. There are two tribes missing, and there are two tribes added. The two tribes that are missing are Dan and Ephraim. The two tribes that are added are Levi and Joseph. Looking at our chart here, calling your attention to the missing tribes, Dan and Ephraim. Calling your attention now to the two added tribes, Levi and Joseph. How many are aware the way we generally look at the Bible, look for parallels, and look for common things? Isn't that right? This is the way we study the Bible. So we're going to find out what's common between Dan and Ephraim. We're going to find out what's common between Levi and Joseph. Then we're going to find out what's different between those four tribes. Dan and Ephraim have a whole lot of difference between Levi and Joseph. We're going to search, and I'm going to read this right now. We're going to search for something in common with Dan and Ephraim and different from all the other tribes. To tell you the truth, I made this search, and I searched for over 8 years. It says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, he'll give liberally, will not upbraid for those who don't even know the answer, and I didn't know the answer. Now, but it didn't say how long it takes God. I want to say that again. Well, God took 8 years for that one, but at least, you know, he came through, and that's nothing new. It took 21 days for Daniel. Is that all right? And some other guys took 40 days and turned into 40 years and so forth, so nothing wrong with that. In fact, as long as we're talking about God, I'd like to say this. How many have already noticed that God sometimes seems very, very slow? Have you noticed that? Is that an attribute of God? Well, we can talk about God's attributes, but it seems to me God is very slow at times. He just can't hardly keep up with me. Yeah, I'm just running right along, and God is going. Do you know, God, he just is so slow. He acts like he's got all the time in the world. And he does. Yes, I'm the one. Do you know that if he doesn't hurry up, I'm going to run out of time? I've got 70, maybe 80 years for a little strength. How many know the Bible talks about that? And then I run out of time. But if I can hold on to the end, the very end, there's going to be a group of people that overcomes the last enemy, which is what?
Death.
Then I'll be 170 and 180. Then I'll be 280. And then I'll be 1,080. And because I will have overcome the last enemy, which is what?
Death.
Now, a few years ago, it was about a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago by now, it was my unfortunate duty to go home to Indianapolis, Indiana. I happened to have been in Texas at the time. I got a phone call because my father had died. Went back to Indianapolis to conduct a funeral. But when I conducted the funeral, it was not for my father. I want to say it again, I conducted the funeral for my mother. Now you think for a while I'm watching. Do you understand what I just said? Dad was gone. He left 4 days before. Does that make sense? And when I conducted the funeral, I conducted the funeral for the living to bring hope and to meet needs. Do you see what I'm driving at? How many understand that in our present society, funerals are brutal? Is that all? Can I say that? How many have noticed that a lot of funerals are very brutal to the survivors? And they just wring, seems like they're designed to wring the last tear out of a dry rag. Does that offend you? But that's really sometimes the way I feel about some of our society. But we went back and we conducted the funeral there for society, for our neighbors and so forth, in order to meet the needs of their needs. And then we also ministered to her mother. But you know, Dad was gone. Because the Bible says, I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in this body. So I got a chance to look at his body, but he was gone. He had gone 4 days before. I didn't bury my father. I buried my father's body. For I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in the body. Ecclesiastes 12:7 says that if you die, your body goes back to what? Dust. But your spirit goes back to God who gave it in the first place. Let's get this straight. I am a spirit. I came from God. Now, if you didn't know that, I'm God's gift to Westchester. Here I am. I came from God, and here we are. Well, not in the soul or body, but in the spirit. God's gift to Westchester. I wish you... Not in soul or body, because my body... First my soul and then my body has to change. Now Jesus has already changed my spirit and he saved my spirit. Then he gave me the Holy Ghost to change my soul. And if I can get finished, or if the Holy Spirit gets finished before I get finished, then my body will be saved as well. Spirit and soul and what? Body. I believe this is full salvation. Have you heard of the full gospel? Well, most people think the full gospel is tongues talking, but I'd like to say that the full gospel is the salvation of the spirit and the soul and the body. Is that all right? No offense to tongues talkers, but or charismatics or Pentecostals. But as far as I can tell, the full gospel is the salvation of the whole man. How many have heard of the Trinity? Now, I'm not a Trinitarian. I'm not a oneness. I'll say that again. How many know that there's a big argument between Trinity baptisms and oneness baptisms? Did you know that? The Trinity will baptize you in the name of the what? Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. But if you go to oneness church, you're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And so I tried out both. But now, if baptism is your thing, how many know that it says let us go beyond the principles of baptism and so forth? I looked in the Bible one time and found there are 14 ways to baptize. So if baptism is your thing, well, have you had all 14, brother? Did you know that they were actually baptized under Moses under the cloud and they didn't get wet? That's a little hard on Baptists. To have a baptism where they don't get wet, but there is also a teaching baptism. Did you know that you can be immersed in teaching? Well, after 7 weeks are up, I hope you're wet. Baptized in teaching. Do you see what I'm driving at? So anyway, we've had our baptism in teaching. So I believe in not only the Trinity, not only the oneness. I can see a lot of truth in each. But now I believe in the quartet. Well, you caught that? So I'll stop and say, you didn't catch that. I'll go back. How many have heard of oneness doctrine? That's Jesus only. How many have heard of Trinity doctrine? That's the mystery of the Godhead, three in one. Well, I don't believe in the three in one anymore. I believe in the quartet. I believe in the manifestation of God the Father, the manifestation of God the Son, the manifestation of God the Holy Spirit, and the manifestation of God in the body of Christ. I'll say that again. So I believe that there's coming a time when the body of Christ will actually overcome the last enemy, which is what? Death. Then Jesus said, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I have overcome and am sitting in my Father's throne. Are you following me? Therefore, if we overcome the last enemy, which is death, if we sit with Jesus in his throne, which is the Father's throne, That means that we're a part of the Godhead. You see it? So we're standing as candidates for that right now. Did Jesus say ye are gods? Come on, give me a nod. Yes. Did Jesus say ye are gods? Yes, Jesus said ye are gods. And the scripture cannot be broken. Is that right? Turn around, look at each other again, please. Turn around, look at them. There they are. Look at them. You see them right there? Turn around, look at them. Smile back row. There you go. These are the ones. Yes, here we are. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. You are gods. Well, I've looked you over and you don't look like it. Well, maybe that's the reason Paul finally said, from now on I'll know no man after the flesh, but after the... from now on I'll not make my judgment on what I see, but what the Spirit tells me about you, because it'll be Christ in you, the hope of glory. Because as we looked at each other, we saw the bondage of corruption. And is that all right? Is anybody offended at that? There's a bondage of corruption. Now, no offense to anybody, but after you get to be 35 years old, you're subject to the... You're over the hill, man. Come on now. If the hill is 70 years long, then when you get to 35, some of you are squirming. then you've crested the top and you're on the glide slope headed down. Is that all right? You've crested it at 35. Then we begin to find out that we're subject to the bondage of corruption. Well, if you didn't understand the bondage of corruption, that's what turns our hair gray. And you come back in another cavity, and you come back from the optometrist, and what happens? And it just seems like we're subject to that old bondage. Now, did you know that the Bible says in Romans chapter 8 we're subject to the bondage of corruption? It says not even willingly. Not willingly. Subject to the bondage of corruption and made subject to vanity. It says we're vain. We're vain. Yes, it does. It tells you in Romans chapter 8 we're vain and we're not willing. Now, because we are vain and not willing to be subject to the bondage of corruption, we went to the drugstore. And when we got to the drugstore, we bought a bottle of this and a tube of that. We colored this and glued this up. And then we bought one of the things to pull this in and push that out. Because we're vain. Is that all right? Actually, you didn't have to come here to find that out. Is that all right? Would you agree that every time you turn the television on and there's a commercial that's geared to the bondage of corruption, if it's not nature's, it's nature spelled backward, and that's Saratan. Because we're subject to the bondage of, yes, and we're, you know, all this kind of stuff, and on it goes, and they tell you to buy this and get that in order to fight it. Would you agree we're fighting it all the way? But the Bible says, and not only they, but we who have the first fruits of the Spirit, grown within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. For we are saved by hope. Now he's talking about the first fruits who had already been saved by faith in their heart. They were being saved by works in their heart. But now there's a third salvation, the salvation of the... And it's by hope. And they began to hope for that. And not only the ones that had the first fruits, but all creation began to groan, waiting for the manifestation of the what? Sons of God. That the manifestation of the sons of God will be coincidental with the salvation of the... I wish you'd hear that. I bet I've told you this, what? How many times last year? How many times the year before? Yeah, quite a few times. How many know that without a vision the people perish? Is that right? And what are we trying to do? We come here, we've got 7 weeks of teaching, and what are we trying to do? Leave you with a what? A vision. After we go away, that's the end of it. Now, how many know that a lot of preachers and teachers would give a left arm to have a group this big? To start out, is that all right? To start out with a group like this. We've got groups all over the country going this kind of thing. But what we're trying to say is we come, we teach, we give a vision, and we leave. Now, a lot want to stay, isn't that right? Build at work and continue things like that. These have what we call a pastoral ministry. I'm not a pastor. I have no pastoral ministry. I'm a teacher, a Bible teacher. And what's my objective? To paint for you a target and give you a goal and ask you to aim for it. Is that all right? Then in 7 weeks, I'll finish the target, and I'll be moving on and leave you to, you know, try to hit it. Go ahead and do what you can to hit the target. without a vision to people? Do you believe that God would give a vision? Do you believe that God would dangle a carrot in front of a donkey? Does that sound like God? But you see, my father went the way of all flesh because he had no vision. Because the church didn't teach him to seek immortality. Romans chapter 2, verse 7 says, seek glory, seek honor, and seek what? Immortality. He was born to a generation that was born to die. But I'm talking to some people who are born to live. Now, am I finding fault with the church? No. Because that's the commission of the church, to get us ready to... Come on now. When you go to church, what do they teach you to do? Get ready to... So they say, you're going to die, so hurry up and get to the altar. Isn't that right? That's the whole message of the thing. But there is going to be a generation that's going to be alive and remain to the coming of the Christ. This generation does not need to be taught how to die. They need to be taught how to see the difference. Now, please don't be mad at me, and please don't get uptight if I'm ruffling your feathers or pushing your fur. Just remember that I love you. If you want to die, go ahead. You know, everybody's doing it. It's quite popular. And I'm not smart aleck, really. But I'm not mad at you. But please don't be mad at me because I want to live. Is that a reasonable? You see, we won't be mad at each other. If you want to die, you know, then I'll just shake your hand and we'll take care of you later on. And I want to live. Now, did I say I'm going to live? Did I say I'm going to overcome death? Has anyone ever heard me give a testimony that I'm going to overcome death? No. What did I say? I'm standing as a what? Candidate for every change necessary so that I can enter into immortality. Are you hearing this difference? Because the salvation of the body is by hope. I cannot claim by faith that which the Bible says is by hope. For if I claim it by faith, that which the Bible says is by hope, then I manifest that which the Father has in His own power. And Jesus said, even He cannot manifest that which the Father had in His power. Come on, theologians, and give me a nod. Isn't that what He said? He said, now the Father has certain days and certain times, and that's in the power of the Father. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 1, it says, now, the Son, though is an heir, differeth nothing from the servant, though the Son is heir, is the Lord of all, but is subject to what? Tutors and governors until the Son appoints the time. Until the time appointed. There you got it. I quoted it wrong. Let's do it again. Though the Son is an heir, He's under tutors and governors until the time appointed by the what? Father. How many sons have been appointing their time? How many understand what I'm talking about? Yes, there are many sons of God, because the Bible does say, brethren, now we are the sons of God, doesn't it? Then John. But did you know that it doesn't call us Hurios of God, it calls us technons of God. Brethren, now we are the technons of God. Not Hurios. Brethren, now we are the teenagers. Turn around and look at each other again, please. Here they are. Look at them. There they are. These are the teenagers of God. Turn around and look at these teenagers. Now, some of them are actually physically teenagers. Some of them are soulish teenagers. And maybe some of us are spiritually teenagers as far as our development. Brethren, now we're the teenagers of God, but do you know that one of these days we'll be the Hurios, the manifested sons of God? But the teenager does not manifest himself. He waits for the time appointed of the what? For you see, a teenager who manifests himself is like the kid who steals his father's car keys when he's 15. You follow that parallel? Now, he can't steal his dad's car keys. Well, I mean, he can steal his dad's car keys when he's 15, but what jeopardy does that put the father in? Well, you got insurance problems, you know, you all these kind of things. And do you know what? A kid that steals his father's car keys when he's 15 and drives that car actually takes into his hands his father's whole life. Because if he has an accident with that car, you understand? No insurance. You know, what happens? Well, somebody can come against the father's savings, against the father's house, against the father's and the mother's and all the rest of the children. So how many understand that's an extremely selfish? Is that all right? Do you follow? You know, for a child to do this means that that child's personal needs and desires are so selfish that they would do a trick like this. That they would take from their father and the mother and all the household just for a joyride or something like that. Am I making sense to you on this? Well, can you follow the parallel? We cannot manifest ourselves. We cannot take that which God is going to give us Let me say it another way. Did you know that when we were cast out of the garden, he put this angel there with a flaming sword to keep us from the tree of what?
Life,
from the tree of life. Then you read in the book of Revelation, he wants to give us the tree of life and the leaves, which are for the healing of the nations. In other words, there's a coming a time to receive the tree of life, but it's not at our time. It's at his time. Am I making sense on this? Do you see? There is a tree of life that we should eat of, and we should partake of the healing leaves that are for the nations, but not in our time. Why? Because if we became immortal at the moment, we'd be dangerous. Come on, tell the truth. Here we are. We'd be dangerous. If I became immortal at the moment, I'd be dangerous. What, with my present mind? Ah, hallelujah. Can't you see it now? King David. Here I am, immortal, sitting on my golden throne. I have a crown. I have a scepter. I have an orb. I'd become immortal. I'm a god. Hallelujah. I'd say, hey, Mike. That's Michael. You and Gabe, come over here. That's Gabriel. And I'd say, come on over. I want you to run out and get me 40 bolts of lightning. I want these 40 bolts of lightning to throw at some preachers that have been disagreeing with me. Come on. Now, if it wasn't preachers, it'd be a father, mother, sister, brother, husband, wife. Come on. How many understand what I'm talking about? And so, boy, hallelujah, now that I'm manifest, I'll show them. Yeah. What do you say? Just more confusion. Hallelujah. So I think you see what I'm driving at. We're not ready. Come on, tell the truth. Turn around and look at each other again. Now, this is what God's got. This is what he's going to use, but we're not ready. Why? Because we have to go through more attitude changes. The Bible says to receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your what?
Soul.
Written to people who are already saved in their what?
Spirit.
They needed more of the engrafted word in their soul. Turn around and look at each other again. Here they are. These are the guys that need more of the engrafted word. The word has to be engrafted by the Holy Spirit. Just memorized word is not enough. Just reading the word is not enough. I read this. I didn't understand it. Then, one day, I was in a bus. And while I was in the bus, over in Israel, we were going between Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal. That's a very fascinating mountain. Mount Ebal. I was paying attention because of this particular mountain, and the the guide said, and this is the place. And when he said that, I had the answer to the question that I've been looking for 8 years. How about that? God is faithful. He will give you the answer. It's just that there is a time. Are you hearing? Timeliness. Timeliness is in God's... how many understand that God works also cyclic? In cyclic, in other words, I understand that each week starts with another seven cycles of sevens. Is that right? Just one cycle after another of sevens? He doesn't mess it up. But that's the way it works. We have the cycles of sevens and the cycles of the jubilees and so forth. Well, after he said that, after he said that they set up the calves, one in Dan and the other in Ephraim, I saw that was common to Dan and Ephraim, and I saw what they had done that the other tribes had not done. In our contests, where I used to give away the spaghetti dinners, some of my friends would say, well, Dan and Ephraim did bad things. They were nasty. You know, they rebelled. They were idolatrous and so forth. Well, that was true, but so were all the others. And that, you know, I didn't feel that was a reason for God to single those two out because everybody else was doing it. And you're aware of the fact that, you know, God just doesn't beat one guy for what the other guy did. You know, that's not the way it works. And God doesn't give visions to people that are not attainable. Dad didn't have a vision to seek immortality because it wasn't attainable. But you're hearing preaching and teaching about seeking glory, seeking honor, and seeking immortality because it now is attainable.
Please stop your machine and turn cassette over.